Let's pray. Lord, you have the words of eternal life, a life that we can experience, a full life here on earth now and in heaven with you. And so we pray that the words that we hear would bring life and joy, encouragement and strength into our lives today. Amen. Do please take a seat. We have finally got there. We've got to the end of the Ten Commandments series, or in fact the very beginning, because as you know, we've been working back from 10 to 1. First thing to do is to take the sheet that you were given as you came in with the word review at the top. I wonder which of those commandments particularly speaks to you today. I wonder which of them particularly challenges you today, or perhaps makes you feel a little uncomfortable. Our God is a loving God, and his love is a transformative love. He wants us to become like him. He wants us to become closer to him. And because of that, his spirit tugs at our spirit. And so I wonder what he might be particularly saying to us today. Well, why don't you take that sheet away and have a think about it in your own time of prayer with God during the course of the next week. We come to this commandment last because it's the foundation for all the others. It underpins all the other commandments. It reminds us that we cannot remove God from the commandments. So if you wouldn't mind turning with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. You'll find it on page 77 in the Bible. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to the land of out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Many people in our society today talk about Christian values. We teach our children the values of the Christian faith in school. And we believe that they're good and important underpinning for our society. Not coveting leads to less stress. Having a day off makes you feel better. Of course, important values to try to live by. But we can't remove God from these commandments because he underpins all of them. And without him, they lose their power and effect because his love and his character are stamped all over them. And they only make sense when we see God as being behind all of them. So just as I said at the very beginning of this series, Christianity is not about just obeying some rules or keeping to some values for life. It's not about a moral code. It's about knowing God, loving him, worshipping him, because he loved us first. It's not the Ten Commandments. Christianity is not about keeping the Ten Commandments any more than driving is about following the traffic regulations. No, Christianity is about a relationship with God, getting into that relationship and staying in that relationship with him. And so we come to this first commandment, the commandment that puts God first. But you ask me, who is God? Who is this God? And God answers that question before he goes on to speak about the Ten Commandments. He says to his people, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. We learn about God as the Creator, the Lord, the King, and the Redeemer. First of all, we learn that God is the Creator. It says, I spoke all these words. Do you remember where that came before? Right at the beginning of the book of Genesis, God spoke and he created the world into being. God is a wonderful creator, the maker of the cosmos, behind all the breathtaking beauty that exists, in charge of the every rhythm of life, the seasons, the oceans, the day and the night. And his son Jesus was a creator too. In his miracles there was creation, water into wine, and there was recreation, leprous skin being made whole, death to life. God and Jesus together are creators. So the first thing we learn about God is that he gave us this incredible world to live in and to enjoy. That's one thing to be thankful for. Secondly, he is the Lord. He says, I am the Lord your God. The one who reveals himself. The word for Lord that the Jewish people knew was Yahweh. We learnt a couple of weeks ago about how we'd speak about God with reverence because he is our God. That we should know his name at all is incredible. It is because he wants to reveal himself to us. Without him doing this, we would be none the wiser. We couldn't invent God for ourselves. Without his coming to earth in the form of his son, even the incredible Hubble telescope could not have discovered God. He is the Lord, and his covenant name, Yahweh, is the name under which he keeps his promises to you and to me, to the whole human race in every generation. God is creator, he is Lord, he is also king. He is the one who rules humanity and history. I am the Lord, your God. This reminds the hearers of the Ten Commandments, and it reminds us that they were already his people and he was their God. He is our king, and he sets laws for us as his people. He is the king of the nations. He orders their rise and their fall. He is the king of history. And he makes all its tangled events work out to serve his purposes. The sad story of the Old Testament is that God's people strayed so often from their king. They decided eventually that they would rather have an earthly king. And we know that many of those earthly kings did a very poor job of it. But God's people's hope remains. And one day, a child would be born, a son would be given, and the government would be upon his shoulders, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is King Jesus, who died on a cross but is now at the right hand of God the Father and will one day come to judge the earth. So God is Creator, Lord, King, and finally Redeemer. God said to his people before he shared these commandments with him, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And this is another great theme of our God, that he is our Redeemer, our Rescuer, our Deliverer. Remember the account of God's people being saved from slavery in Egypt. Eventually Pharaoh let them go, And they traveled away from Egypt, hundreds of thousands of them. And then Pharaoh changed his mind and sent his armies after them. And they were in that precarious place, looking behind the armies of Pharaoh, looking ahead of them an expanse of water. They were in peril for their lives. And God rescued them by parting the water and allowing them to travel safely to the promised land. We're in the same sort of danger without God. Without our sins being forgiven, without being made right with God, we're in danger. We need to come back to Him, the Redeemer, the one who saves us, and have that relationship with Him. And so years later, Joshua is leading God's people. He's the leader at the time, and we had the reading from Joshua chapter 24. They're established in the promised land, and Joshua stands with them and asks them to take stock of where they've come, to review their relationship with God. If you'd like to turn ahead with me to page 239, you'll see the reading there. As Andrew read it for us, we were reminded of how much God had done for them. And now Joshua leads the Israelites in a ceremony where they renew their promises to God. Joshua reminds them of the kindness of God. And he says to them in verse 14, "Now, in the light of all this, fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the river of Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Friends, our God is Lord and King and Creator and Redeemer. He is totally trustworthy. He cares for you and for me. And He asks us to live our lives by giving us these commandments so that we can have a place of freedom and safety to live. He knows that we need boundaries in our lives so that we can be protected from evil, protected from making wrong decisions that would harm us and other people. I wonder which of these has particularly spoken to you over the last few weeks, and what you might need to do in response. I want to conclude by reading some words from the prophet Isaiah, who came a little bit later in Israel's history. He was wrestling with who God was, surrounded by people who worshipped other gods. This is what he said: "With whom then will you compare God? And to what image will you liken Him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. But do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He, God, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted No sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither like a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my gods. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weak, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Friends, these are words we need to hear to remind ourselves of in the context of the backgrounds in our country at this time. God gives strength to the weak, to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Let's pray that for ourselves, for our nation, and for our world. Amen.